The Money Show
with Bruce Whitfield.
Join the conversation.
A long and growing list of companies quantifying the impact of their operations. Cashbuild, with more than 30 stores taken out of commission, 99 Famous Brands outlets. Mr. Price has said 109 of its stores entirely looted, another 539 closed, hundreds of ATMs, various banks hit as well. Also signs today of problem solvers, though, getting on to address the immediate short-term needs of communities worst affected by the violence. A video of fuel trucks getting petrol stations, fuel to petrol stations in Durban under armed police escort. Deeply uncomfortable scenes, but like the oxygen supply has been escorted to hospitals this week, as per our discussion with Richard Friedland at Netcare, it's deeply necessary. Department of Mineral Resources and Energy banning the sale of petrol in containers for fears that it could be used to commit arson. You're stuck if you need fuel for your generator. In other words, if Eskom implements load shedding, it did warn today that the power grid was under strain. Lots of services suspended. They'll stay that way until businesses get better access to information to assess the risk they have in doing business. ShopRite is saying, though, it'll restock and rebuild affected stores in KZN and Gauteng, but only reopening when it's safe to do so. Pick and Pay and Woolworths taking a similar approach. Tiger Brands says it's lost 150 million rand in stock in KZN and Gauteng, and worse, it's closed all of its operations temporarily in KZN in the affected areas. The company is saying it ceased baking and bread distribution in the area. The destruction of retail in some areas means it just doesn't have stores to deliver to anyway. RCL saying it can't make its sun-baked bread in Gauteng because it can't get wheat and yeast to its factories because the N3 highway is closed. Rainbow Chickens can't get enough soya from Gauteng for its chickens either. It's a dire situation. Jaco Marie, the Presidential Special Investment Envoy, listening to us this evening. And Jaco, I see today the ratings agencies are quite calm and are very measured in their responses, but both Fitch and I think it was S&P saying that they are concerned what this does for South Africa's very, very fragile recovery. You too must be concerned.
Good evening, Bruce. Of course, everybody is very concerned. And in the short term, the focus has got to be to get the economy up and running as quickly as possible. Things like you mentioned, for example, the link between Gauteng and the Durban port is absolutely fundamental. Getting that N3 highway safe, secure, and operational is absolutely fundamental to avoid, a whole lot of unanticipated collapses from happening in the farming industry in KZN, and food industry, and so on. So there's a massive short-term recovery required, but obviously, as an investment envoy, my concern is obviously much, much more for the longer term prospects and what this does in terms of damaging South Africa's reputation abroad.
Damaging South Africa's reputation abroad, of course, is imperative. But right now, as of this moment, the N3 remains closed. And we're just getting so many reports from so many different sectors about what a critical artery it is. I mean, if South Africa was a living being, and we all know if you lose blood supply to your legs, well, you need to get your legs amputated. It's that serious. And right now, KZN feels like it's being amputated from the rest of the country. Is there any sort of urgency in getting that N3 artery reopened, Jaco?
Certainly, as investment envoys, we have been talking to relevant people in government to push this ahead, because this is the main, obviously the most important artery in the country for the movement of goods in particular. So this is absolutely critical, and it doesn't, on the face of it, appear that difficult to be able to achieve, to guard a road using the SANDF or whatever. We have to be able to move vehicles up and down as quickly as possible to avert catastrophe. So the messages are going through loud and clear, but I'm not privy to what the decisions are that could be taken.
I mean, your job was difficult enough. You and the other investment envoys' job was difficult enough when the president appointed you as envoys. Those were in the good old days before COVID-19. COVID-19 then sucked the life out of it. We then went through periods of severe load shedding. That added to the burden of trying to sell South Africa as a viable investment destination. And now this, Jacko, I mean, you're not yet chucking in the towel in terms of seeking investment for the future.
I think we have to recognize that the focus is going to have to be primarily on investment from local companies and restoration infrastructure and so on. I think foreign investors are likely to sit on the sidelines and watch to see how South Africa responds to this, you know, this catastrophe. I am sure that we are going to see South African companies moving very quickly to, you mentioned already some of the initiatives in place. I think South African companies will move quickly to restore what they've lost. But I think that's what foreign investors will look at primarily, because when you're looking at building a factory or a mine or a renewable energy plant, clearly, you know, a destruction of physical property would be your highest concern. You can cope with most things, but very difficult to cope with the sorts of things that we've recently seen. So I think you're going to see foreign investors very much sitting on the sideline for a while, and it's going to be focusing on assisting and helping local fixed investors, replace, modernize, improve what they've got on the ground here. And it's, of course, you know, as South African companies, so we all have a vested interest to do so, self-interest to do so.
Jacko Marie, thank you. The Presidential Special Investment Envoy. Listening to that, Elmar Conradi, who is the Chief Executive at Flyer Safair, and Jacko Marie highlighting the big issue, the most important artery in the country between Gauteng and Durban, cut off and impassable at the moment, Elmar Conradi. If government's not going to open the road, you're going to lay on extra flights, and in those flights, there is plenty of space for cargo. What are you doing to try and alleviate some of those problems that KZN is facing, being cut off from the rest of the country?
Hi, Bruce. It's been an interesting week, because earlier on Monday, we were still considering whether we shouldn't cancel all our flights to Durban because of the situation. And then by Tuesday, we were inundated by requests. At first, people that just wanted to get out of Durban. So we started adding additional flights, which we normally wouldn't do at such short notice because, you know, flights normally need time to sell the tickets. So we added quite a bit of flights, especially from Friday onwards. We added about 18 flights. And then from yesterday, with the N3 being closed, we started getting requests from companies that wanted to send food. So I think one of the issues is getting freight out of Durban to Johannesburg, to Cape Town, etc. But also the people in Durban, they don't have food. They're looking for places to buy food. So at first we had just the issue with our own staff, where we were like, okay, how are we going to send them food down there? And then we started getting more and more calls from more and more companies that were like, can we help them? So we've added the additional flights, firstly to try and help people to get out of there, and then secondly also to take freight into Durban and out of Durban. And then we've also made special arrangements where we allow people to through the call center, basically book a ticket, but we allow them to take extra bags. So we've had some companies that said, listen, we want to send somebody down there with X amount of extra bags with food, etc., that we want to take down to our staff there because they can't buy food. Can you help us? So it's been quite a crazy week.
How much demand is there to get flights out of Durban and up to Joburg? I've got images in my mind, and I hope you can correct me on this, Elmar, of people trying to get on the last helicopter out of Saigon in the Vietnam War. We've all seen that movie.
Bruce, it's been crazy. Like I say, we started adding flights. To give you an idea, added flights on Wednesday for Friday. And at first we were worried that the flight won't sell, and the flight literally sold out in less than an hour. And that's when we decided to start adding more and more and more flights. So we ended up adding about 18 flights for the weekend. So between Friday and Monday, there's now about 38 flights out of Durban, either to Johannesburg or Cape Town. And then we've also got flights to PE in East London as well.
Are they all fairly fully subscribed? I mean, you've added all these extra flights, so you don't have too many empty seats at this stage.
So the Durban-Cape Town route is fairly fully subscribed, but there's still space to Johannesburg, but I think the people fleeing don't necessarily want to go out of the pot into the fire. So yeah, they're not keen on coming to Johannesburg. So most of the people are going to Cape Town, but there's also space to Johannesburg, to PE, to East London, and of course we also fly to Lanseria, so there's also space there.
Thank you, Elmar Kunradi, the Fly Safair Chief Executive. Extraordinary. I mean, it's not something I'd considered, but just Jeremy Sampson, who tweeted earlier saying, friends are coming up to Joe because they can't get food in KZN. That's how serious it is.